A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root, they believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning, and we beg for you to send your spirit to be with us and tend to the preaching of your word. Lord, we desperately need to hear from you, and we pray that you would do your work in our hearts. Lord, where we are hard, would you break up the hardness and make us soft? Father, where our hearts are shallow and superficial, would you drive it down deep? Father, where our hearts are thorny and crowded, Lord, would you strip these things away that we might receive the seed of the message of the kingdom and that it might bear fruit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, 2020, in many ways, amongst so many other things, was a year of listening. And it looks like 2021 is not that much different, because there continue to be the cries of anguished hearts, people giving voice to their pain, questions, concerns, all these things brought to the surface that maybe were hidden away before, and you feel the need to listen. And as I've sort of reflected on this over the past year, I've thought, you know, at times I've listened well, and at other times I haven't listened well at all. And you know, there's a big difference between hearing and hearing well. And there's a lot of things that affect that, right? There's whether you feel empathy for the person that you're listening to. There's your own vantage point that you're coming from, and whether you trust the words that someone is saying. But how you hear greatly impacts how that person is received, and also what difference this makes in your life. Because you can hear, but not be hearing well at all, and it makes not a bit of difference. And one of the things I've been thinking about is a question that has been bouncing around as Christianity has sort of entered into the public space of criticism. And I'm hearing questions, not only in personal conversations, but as I read, it's questions like, if Christianity is true, why don't more people believe it? If the gospel is so powerful and so good, why doesn't it seem to be changing people like we might expect? And you know, in some ways, it's as simple as this. It's all about how you hear. Because if Christianity is true, our hearts are way more complicated than we realize. And Jesus actually has some things to say to us about that this morning. We come to the first major parable in the Gospel of Luke. And it is a parable that is about hearing. Now, we're going to give most of our attention to this parable, which is right at the center of this passage we're looking at. But if we're really going to wrestle with it well, we need to see something about how this parable is situated in Luke's gospel. The parable and its explanation, this is verses 4 through 15, are the core of the passage. But what comes before and what comes after actually helps us to approach it well. Because Jesus says on the heels of explaining this parable, verse 18, "Take care then how you hear." The Greek literally is, "See how you hear." Or as one commentator put it, "Keep your eyes on your ears." Which, by the way, is a really hard thing to do unless you're looking in the mirror. You see, this parable is a challenge to self-reflection. Pay careful attention to how you are listening. Because it's all about how you hear. Now here's the context. Jesus is gathering a congregation around his word. And we've talked about this a little bit, a couple of chapters ago, when Luke tells us that Jesus came to actually establish a new community, a community called the church. And we see the church forming around him. You can see this at the beginning of our passage in verses 1 through 3. And you can see this at the end of our passage in verses 19 through 21. At the beginning, Luke tells us that Jesus was on a preaching tour throughout the cities and villages of Galilee. And he was traveling with an entourage that included the 12 disciples, but also a band of many women. Now, you know, it's just worth noting for a moment how often Luke records the presence of women in Jesus' ministry. Over and over again, we see the story of Jesus told through the stories of women who encountered him and their experiences with him. We've seen that in the story of Mary. We've seen that in the story of Elizabeth. And we've seen it in the story of the widow of Nain. We saw it last week at the prostitute at Simon's house. Luke's going to go on to tell us about a woman afflicted with a bleeding condition for 12 years. We're going to hear about Mary and Martha. We're going to be told about the persistent widow. And of course, women are some of the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And right here, at this moment in Jesus' ministry, as he's forming a congregation around him, we are told the names of some of these early followers of Jesus. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna, among many others. And not only that, we're told that they were funding Jesus' startup ministry. They paid the bills out of their own means. But most importantly, these were women who had experienced release and liberation through the ministry of Jesus, and they were among those who heard and responded in faith to the message Jesus proclaimed. It's all about how you hear. And then at the end of the passage, what do we see? We see Jesus' mom and Jesus' brothers trying to get to him while he's surrounded by crowds. And they can't quite get in. And Jesus says to the crowd, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Jesus isn't slighting his own family, nor is he dismissing the importance of our own immediate families, but he's drawing attention to the fact that there's something of utmost importance, of greatest importance, hearing the word of God and putting it into practice. It's all about how you hear. Now, what was the message that Jesus was proclaiming? We've been saying this over and over again, but it's spelled out for us right in verse 1 of our passage, that Jesus went about proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is the main point, that God is king, and when he comes to assert his rule and his reign, it's going to mean flourishing for all who order themselves in submission to him. He's going to put an end to all evil, right? He's going to heal all suffering. He's going to mend all brokenness. He's going to put everything right again. And the good news that Jesus is proclaiming is that kingdom is here, and I'm the one who's bringing it. But here's the thing. Some are rejecting, others are receiving. Some are responding positively, and others are responding with hostility. And so Jesus tells this parable as a way of describing what is happening in his ministry. You know, a lot of you are familiar with this parable, even if you haven't been to church much in your life and don't call yourself a Christian, you probably have heard about this. It's kind of like this would be on Jesus's greatest hits playlist on Spotify, if there was such a thing. And we need to recognize that its purpose is not to educate us on Palestinian agricultural practices, nor is it to give us some sort of expectation about the stats of the fruitfulness of his message, like it's only, you know, fruitful a quarter of the time. It's all about the different ways of hearing the message of the kingdom. You know, Jesus interprets it for us in verses 11 through 15, so it might seem straightforward. And honestly, right now, you might be like, I've heard a sermon on this like 1,000 times, okay? But I want you to notice something in verse 9 and 10. We're let in on a secret of the kingdom. And this can be confusing because it sounds like a divine double cross, but it's actually a category-blowing, startling reality that we need to wrestle with. Jesus didn't teach in parables simply because it's a great way to vividly explain things. He also spoke in parables to confuse and bewilder. Why would he do such a thing? He's borrowing words from Isaiah, by the way, right here. And what he's doing is saying this: before you can understand me and my message, you have to first come to grips with the fact that you don't understand. You see, some of us, right, we feel like we don't understand, we don't get it, and it frustrates us. But you know, that could be the sign that something good is happening in your life. And this is what I mean. God might be beginning to dismantle your understanding of the world in order to make room for his. See, Jesus' parables must first make the lights go off for us and grope in darkness a little bit, right, before they go on and we see how he's reordered things and reshaped things. See, one of the barriers to belief is the mistaken assumption that, we get it, that we know what God is up to, we know what to expect, and Jesus wants to blow that assumption to bits. The first thing you need to understand is you don't understand. And the parable is all about how we're going to hear the message of the kingdom. How we hear determines everything. The message of the kingdom, Jesus likens to a seed. And that's really important because seeds make you who you are. They have the power of life in them. And they unfold and shape a whole life, even though they look like a little nothing. And the way we hear the message of the kingdom is likened to four different soils. Now be careful here. These aren't four different types of people, as if you're one of them and sorry, that's it. These are four ways of hearing. That's why Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he explains the parable, he describes the last soil, the good soil, as hearing the word with an honest and good heart. We hear with our hearts. Jesus is telling us this parable, is saying, you can listen in four different ways to this message. You can listen with a hard heart, you can listen with a shallow heart, you can listen with a crowded heart, and finally, you can listen with a desperate heart. And that's what I want to talk about briefly this morning. And so let's start with the first soil that Jesus identifies, and that is the seed that falls along the path. And we're going to call this hearing with a hard heart. See, in ancient Palestine, there were these paths that bordered the fields. And they were beaten down, they were hard-packed dirt, they were uncultivated, they were practically impenetrable. If Jesus were telling this parable today, he might say, the seed that fell along the concrete. Like, not a very receptive soil for seed. The seed never settles in, and it is snatched away. And so maybe we should ask ourselves, what is it that hardens a heart to the message of the kingdom? And you know, sometimes it's just simply our arrogance. We think we have the world figured out. We feel pretty together. We kind of know how things should go, what we should do. We don't feel all that needy. We certainly don't think we need anything as radical as repentance. At other times, that arrogance manifests itself in that feeling that, like, I've heard all this before, nothing new here, moving on, right? You know, God in his mercy and his kindness often shatters our arrogance like a hammer going to work on concrete, exposing our neediness to us, revealing our weakness and corruption. But until then, we listen with a hard heart, and the seed of the kingdom never really settles in. Another way that our hearts get hardened to the message of the kingdom is our cynicism, right? Cynicism, honestly, really is an act of self-preservation. We've been hurt, we've been let down, we've been disappointed so many times that we promise ourselves that we'll never get duped again. So we've hardened ourselves against trusting anyone or anything but ourselves. And our general posture in life is suspicion. Everyone else has an angle. I and I alone can see clearly and can adjudicate truth claims. You see, arrogance and cynicism can harden the heart. How do you know when you're hearing like this? How do you know you're hearing with a hard heart? Well, you know what the telltale sign of hearing with a hard heart is? It is the refusal to let the message of the kingdom challenge you. Jesus' words challenge every single type of person that he's encountered. He challenges liberals and progressives. You know why? Because he welcomes corrupt government officials into his family who repent and turn to him. People like Levi, the tax collector. He challenges religious conservatives because he welcomes the sexually immoral into his family who fall at his feet, like the woman of the city, the prostitute that we looked at last week. Jesus says things like, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, which challenges the capitalists. He says things like, blessed are the meek, which challenges the activists. You see, the words of the kingdom are intended to unsettle us. And if your faith is only affirming and never challenging, there's no tension, there's no questions, there's no uncomfortableness. You have heard, but you have not received. You may have listened, but you haven't listened well, because you're listening with a hard heart. And maybe this is obvious, but just in case it's not, hardness of heart it's not something that's just found among the irreligious. Some of the most hard-hearted people in the world are religious people, which means it's possible to go to church, to read your Bible, to even talk a big game in theology, but there's no real sorrow for your sin. There's no hunger for God. There's no bending of your will to his. There's no softness to his word. See, the words of the kingdom must challenge and disrupt you. Otherwise, you're hearing with a hard heart. Jesus says, take care then. Look at how you hear. Now, here's the second soil Jesus describes. And we'll call this hearing with a shallow heart. And that is the seed that falls along the rock. It sprouts quickly, but it has no root, and it wilts under the heat. Now, some of you may be familiar with this because you've been to Israel, but there's a strata of limestone rock bed that runs throughout Israel, and it juts up in places close to the surface. There's a very thin layer of soil. And so what can happen is if a seed falls on that, it can germinate, and it can sprout up, but it can never really get any root. So when the sun comes out, it withers under the heat. It has no way of drawing moisture. You know, there is a type of superficial Christianity that is only exposed in times of testing. It looks genuine. It feels genuine, but when trouble comes, it absolutely withers. And it withers because it's never really taken root, so it can't survive the heat. You know, heat comes in a variety of forms into our life. You think of relational meltdowns that we have. You think about financial troubles. You think about chronic health conditions. And maybe most importantly, those moments in which being a Christian actually costs you something, where you suffer because you're following Jesus. And in those moments, when the withering takes place, what's revealed is that Christianity, the way you were hearing the message of the kingdom, it was really just emotion masquerading as commitment. Now, like some of you, I didn't grow up in the church. I wasn't raised a Christian. I became a Christian in high school. And one of the churches that I briefly attended for a season when I was in high school was a very emotional church. And there was a lot of great things about that. But there was one individual, his name was Bill. And he was like the most emotional of the emotional. And he was a leader. And he would speak prophetic words over people and even told a girl that God told him to marry her. And so they did. And the thing about Bill was it was all excitement and it was thrill. And years later, we met in a philosophy class at the University of Tennessee. And Bill was now an atheist. And what had transpired in between is that Bill got brain cancer and he wilted under the heat. And he left his wife, and he pursued a life of philosophy and atheism. Now, I'm not shaming Bill, but I'm saying that we have to pay careful attention to how we are hearing the message. Are we hearing it in a shallow, superficial way, where all that we want really is the good feelings and the inspiration, right, to carry on about our day the way we want to go? You know, that's how we listen to TED Talks, and that's how we evaluate them. It's like, do I feel inspired, right? Did that feel pretty good? Do I feel affirmed? But that's not how you hear the message of the kingdom well. Because you see, there are going to be times and there are going to be places when following Christ will cost you. And as one person put it, a mature understanding of the gospel is not revealed nearly as much by how much emotion you express as it is by how you respond to suffering. See, Jesus' message isn't intended to just come and make life easier for you. It's intended to make you sturdy and wise and strong in Him so that you won't wither under the heat. Your suffering's coming no matter what. And all too often it surprises us because we have this consumer mindset about how life should go. We're like, hey, if Christianity is the truth, then maybe I can keep the sadness away. But you can't. Trials and suffering, they're on their way. They are promised. And yet they have a purpose. And that is that we might sink our roots more deeply into Him. Shallow listening means that the gospel doesn't really reach the core of who you are. And we could put it like this. Instead of us entering Christ's kingdom, we're really just trying to fit Him into ours. And that won't survive the heat. Look at how you hear. Are you hearing with a shallow heart? Here's the third soil, the seed that fell among the thorns. And we're going to call this hearing with a crowded heart. See, on the surface, this soil looks good and fertile, but what's hidden beneath the surface is the danger. And it's what ends up strangling the life out of the seed. Verse 14, Jesus says, it's choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. There are other seeds deep down in the heart that are watered and nourished and grow, and they end up choking the seeds of God's kingdom to death. Now look, there's a simplistic way to understand this, and I think this is what we naturally do. We're picturing like yachts and Teslas and vacations in Italy and truckloads of cash, right? And we're like, yeah, that crass materialism, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. Sure, yeah, fine. We should be concerned about that. But Jesus means the worries and the cares that consume us because we think in getting or having these certain things, we will find safety and security. The urgent demands end up choking the life out of the seed because the heart is just crowded. It hasn't settled on what's most important, so it's constantly being battered by what feels most urgent. Every one of us knows that there are things just screaming for our immediate attention, and they're threatening us if we don't meet their demand, and they're consuming us with anxiety and worry. That's the stuff Jesus is talking about. And the telltale sign that we are hearing with a crowded heart is we are constantly putting off dealing with the implications of Jesus' words by internally saying later and after. After I get through this Series A funding, after this fiscal quarter, after I get married, after I have children, after we're done potty training, after we get the kids out of school for the summer, after we finish their college applications, after I get some me time for rest, right? Then I'll go on sorting through the implications of Jesus' kingdom for my life. But we never do. It's always maybe later. See, none of these things are bad in and of themselves, but when listening to the message of the kingdom and its implications for our lives is always met with a later and after, they become thorns choking the life out of you. Jesus didn't come to interview for the job of being Lord and Savior in your life. He came to be the only Savior and King and to plant the powerful seed of his kingdom at the core of who we are. Now, I want to take a brief interlude here and say, what am I supposed to do with this parable? Right? Some of us say, like, you should be afraid. Be very afraid. You could be one of the first three souls. You'll never know. And I just want to say, look, healthy self-examination is okay. In fact, I think it's really necessary. But you know what's not good is obsessive, paralyzing fear. And you know why? Because it will never produce fruit. Others say, well, look, we just got to get busy. We got to get busy bearing fruit. That's the whole point of this. This is what Jesus is leading up to. Try harder, dedicate yourself more, put more discipline in your spiritual life. But everybody knows that's not how fruit grows. The fruit grows by receiving the seed. And the parable is all about how we hear the message of the kingdom. So let's talk about that. The last soil, the seed that falls on good soil, Jesus says. And we're going to say this is hearing with a desperate heart. See, good soil, Jesus describes as those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now listen carefully here. Good soil does not mean good people. Goodness is not defined here in terms of morality. I mean, we saw this last week. At the end of Luke chapter 7, a very immoral woman receiving God's grace in Jesus and a very moral individual, Simon, refusing it. Goodness is not defined in terms of morality, but receptivity. There's a word play here. The word for good that is used with heart is translated fertile when it's used with soil. Hold it fast in a fertile heart, a receptive heart. What kind of heart is receptive? Only the desperate heart. Desperate heart is soft. The desperate heart is fertile soil for the kingdom of God. It's the heart that no longer believes it has all the answers, that it can't rule the world. Look at the examples throughout the ministry of Jesus. It's the prostitute. It's the tax collector. It's the poor. It's the hungry. It's the lame. It's the possessed. It's the corrupt government official. It's the sick. It's the people at the end of themselves who are receptive to the seed. It's the desperate. These are the people in whom Jesus' word takes root and experience transformation. But it's always the self-satisfied and the proud and the sure that are unreceptive. See, the good soil is the heart that recognizes and grieves and comes to Jesus self-aware of its weaknesses and corruptions and its limitations. It's a heart that listens out of desperation. See, when you're desperate, you're not going to be hardened in arrogance and cynicism because you don't think you have life figured out. When you're desperate, you won't listen in a shallow, superficial way. When you're desperate, you're going to find your security and joy in the kingdom rather than the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And a desperate heart is the key to fruitfulness. You hold it fast. You bank your life on it. You invest your life in it. That's what someone does when they're desperate. They're holding on to this. I need this. And Jesus says they bear fruit with patience. They understand it takes time for the harvest to appear, but it will come. You see, religion can bring some superficial change into your life, lots of activity, busyness, but it won't deal with the pride, the selfishness, the self-sufficiency. But the message of Jesus' kingdom brings organic change. It comes to the desperate, and it plants a story in the core of our souls that grows and that bears fruit. A friend of mine wrote this, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I think this is so beautifully put. Your life is the fruit of the words and the stories that you take into your inmost self. And that is true for everyone, whether you are a Christian or not. Those stories grow there like seed. They tell you what is worthwhile, what flourishing and success look like, what to aspire to, what failure is. They fuel your imagination for life. You have a complex story of what it looks like to successfully be you. And it was planted deep within you, and there were lots of authors and many editors who altered it. And those stories have taught you what is good and what is bad and what you should be and what you shouldn't be in the world. And it's hard to encounter that story because it feels so essential to being you. Friends, I was born into this world thinking I'm the center of the story, and so were you. And we may get along pretty well as long as our goals align, but at some point, my preferred way of being me bumps into your preferred way of being you, and then it's battle royale. And this is at the heart of the human condition. We think we're king or queen. We think we're the center of the story, but we're not. Only God is. And the message of the kingdom is that God is the king, and he has a very different story to tell. This God comes to inaugurate his kingdom, to put an end to evil, right? To heal all wounds, to put back together what has been pulled apart. But he does it in the most surprising way. He does it through service and sacrifice, and it becomes enfleshed in the person of his son on the cross. If you take this story into the core of your life, it will transform everything about you over time. You will bear fruit, Jesus says. Normal expectation for a great harvest would be tenfold, and Jesus said, it's going to be 100-fold. This will change you like nothing else ever will or can. The story of the kingdom is a story of self-giving love. And it comes like a seed, and when the seed is received by a desperate heart, it grows and produces in you a life of self-giving love. Friends, it sounds strange to say it, but this parable is actually happening right now in this moment. How are you hearing the message of the kingdom? Are you listening with a hard heart, right? Hardened in cynicism or arrogance or detached distance? Are you listening with a shallow heart, right? You want a buzz, you want an emotional experience, you want something inspiring, but nothing to challenge the core of yourself. Are you listening with a crowded heart, right? Other cares, pleasures, hopes, dreams still have you, right, by the throat? Are you desperate enough to hear this, receive this, let it go down in you like seed? And you, if you are, you will discover that it will produce a life of self-giving love in you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the richness of your word and how it speaks to the depths and the nooks and the crannies of our hearts. Lord, we want to hear well. So would you do whatever is necessary that we might take this in, that we might receive out of desperation the good news of your kingdom. Lord, we are not fit to be kings and queens of the universe, Lord. We need to yield to you. And we thank you that the story that you tell, the story you want to plant deep within us, is a story of self-giving love. That you're the God who comes to rescue and redeem, and that you're the God who comes to mend the broken. So Lord, would you be at work in us now? Would you plant this deep within our soul that we might bear fruit to your glory? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.